Okay, good morning, everyone. We'll be doing our Bible reading today. So today's Bible reading can be found on page 875 of our pew Bibles. It's Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death. My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank you offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of his house, of the house of the Lord in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Jess, for reading that out. And can I say good morning to everyone and Happy New Year. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great to come along if it's your first time with you. It's your first time here with us. Hopefully you can join us for morning tea. Introduce yourself to myself or to the people around you. Welcome along here to church. It's also great to have our combined service to start the year off. Last week and for the rest of January, we're going to be working our way through these summer psalms. We're going to be looking through psalms, one psalm each week. And today's psalm, in some ways, it's quite special. It is a uniquely Australian psalm, and we'll see that a little bit later on. But as we take a look at God's word, let's pray and ask God to be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love towards us. We thank you for this new year, and we pray that as we start the year, that we might be people who listen to your word, that we might see who you are, and that you might cause in us to respond the right way, that we might see Jesus, to love him more, and to love you and serve you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you say thanks? How do you say thank you to somebody when they've done something really big for you, something crucial? How do you show thankfulness in that way? I was reading a book review about a book that was written around 10 years ago. It's called A Simple Act of Gratitude. I don't know if you've read that book before. It's written by a guy by the name of John Kralik. His life up to that point, it had been a disaster. He was miserable. He was broke. He was overweight. He was going through a painful second divorce. He'd grown distant from his children, and his law firm was falling apart. His life dreams were slipping through his fingers. And then on one New Year's Day, he was taking a hike through the hills, and he decided that his goal for that year was to write a note every day to say thank you, to write a thank you note, 365 thank you notes from that day onwards. And the idea was that he wanted to find a reason to be thankful and grateful in the midst of what he was going through. Instead of focusing on what he didn't have, to be grateful for the things that he did have. As he started writing these thank you notes, it became easier. People to say thank you to, things to be thankful for. And that's the question that I want us to ask this morning. How do you say thanks? Because that's not just my question, that's actually the question that the psalmist asks in verse 12. He says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? Or in one of the other versions of the Bible, how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness he has done for me? It's a beautiful question, isn't it? For all of God's goodness to me, how can I say thanks? Now, as a psalmist writes this, it doesn't come from a life of privilege. It doesn't come because life has been easy. Actually, life has been hard. But the psalmist knows who God is and what God has done. And so he wants to work out that question, how do you say thanks to God? That's going to be our question today. Verse 12, how can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done for me? It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you. If you have any questions, as Ryan said, write them down. In the psalm, we're going to see two things. We're going to see something of the psalmist's situation, and then we're going to see his response. Situation, response. And so first of all, his situation. His situation is desperate. Let me read verse 2. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. We're not given the specifics of his situation, but the way that he describes them, they are desperate. He is in a hopeless situation. And in some ways, I suspect that might be deliberate. That no matter what we're going through, that there's resonance here. That his situation in some ways fits our situation. It might be that he was critically ill. He might have been going through some kind of sickness. Some kind of danger that was crushing him down as he feels this anguish and sorrow. In verse 8, he describes how he was delivered from death. And in verse 8, how his eyes have been filled with tears, his feet have been stumbling, something terrible has been happening to him. Maybe it was a relationship where there was some sort of betrayal. In verse 11, he cries out that everyone is a liar. Either that means no one's there who can help him, or it's they're the ones who've actually caused this hurt. That he's being betrayed by their lies. And he finds that in the midst of his desperate situation, in the midst of the trouble, the anguish, the sorrow, he learns that God is a God who hears. God is a God who hears us. Let me read again verse 1. He says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. God hears when we cry out. And that is a great thing to wrap our heads around. For some of us, when you came here to church this morning, maybe this is you. You feel what the psalmist is saying here, that you feel the cords of death. You're going through some kind of pain or anguish, whether it's physical or emotional, a relationship that's broken. Or maybe at the start of the year you're feeling anxious. What's going to happen this year? A situation at work, how's that going to solve itself? How am I going to juggle everything that I'm facing? Things at work and family, church, issues with health. And it feels that the walls around you are closing in. How do I get out of this? Maybe this morning you're in the shoes of the psalmist in verse 4. And you're crying, Lord, save me. Maybe this morning, that's not you. You know, you just had a great Christmas. You had a great last year. Things are looking up. But at some stage, what we see here, those things will happen to some extent. As long as we live in this broken world, there will be times of anguish and pain. And the psalm says to us, God says to us, no matter what season you're going through, God hears. And he sees, and he cares. In Psalm 116, God answers this person's prayer. And God saves him from whatever it is that he's going through. But God doesn't always do that. God doesn't promise that he's going to do that every time. When you see the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are godly people who die. Today, plenty of Christians go through suffering. being a Christian does not mean having an easy life. But even if we don't get a specific answer to our prayer where we are rescued, the Psalms are full of praises to God. And we have reasons to praise God. The Psalms praise God for his creation. We saw that last week in Psalm 29, how the storm reminds David of the power of God. God is the powerful God of creation and is a God who saves. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. He protects the unwary." It's how God is described in Exodus 34. When God rescues his people out of Egypt, they were slaves, they were helpless. And God saved them in an amazing way. The 10 plagues, the Passover, God brought them through the Red Sea. He brought them to Mount Sinai, and he speaks to Moses in Exodus 34, and he reveals his character, who he is. And in Exodus 34, we read how God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, similar to the words that we see here in verse 5. There's going to be struggles this side of heaven, and we might not be rescued in the same way as the psalmist is. But whether it's the rescue of the Exodus or the psalmist, both of those things point to the God who saves in a bigger way, a God who saves in an even better way. God's rescue in the Old Testament point to the ultimate rescue in the New Testament when we come to Jesus. We know the one who saves not out of Egypt, not out of slavery to Pharaoh. He saves us out of sin and darkness and death. And he does it in a way that the psalmist couldn't even imagine, that God would send his son to die for us on a cross. When we see that this psalm, as the whole of the Old Testament does, it points to Jesus. Actually, some of the words here, they take on a deeper meaning. It becomes even richer. In verse 13, we lift up the cup of salvation only because Jesus lifts up a different cup. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays to his Father. He prays that the cup might be taken away from him. Jesus drinks the cup of God's wrath so that we can lift up the cup of salvation. And when you get to verse 8, how much greater does it get when we read that in the light of Jesus? The psalmist says, "For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." And for us, because of Jesus, we get to walk in the land of the living, living forever. Talking about eternal life, we get to walk in the land of God's kingdom. We have the promise of heaven. That's what we see in verse 8 because of Jesus. And so even when trouble comes in this life, nothing can shake us from the life to come. Nothing can take that away. God hears. And God saves. We have even more than the psalmist does. What has God given to us? His Son. An incredible rescue that lasts forever. Which brings us to that second part, to the question that we started with in verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done for me? Especially when we realize how big that goodness is. How do we say thanks to God? John Kralik, the guy who wrote the book, he wrote thank you notes to the people in his life. That's not a bad thing to do. Maybe that can be your New Year's resolution. How do you write a thank you note to God? How are we to say thanks to God? The psalmist actually gives us at least three things, three ways for us to respond to this God who saves. The first one is this. Our response to all of this is to say, I will trust. I will trust. Verse 12. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The first part of responding to God is to trust him. You know, if I have a cup of water, the reason why I lift it up is to actually drink from it. To lift up the cup of salvation means that we drink from that. We receive that salvation. If you put that in the language of the New Testament, it means putting your trust in Jesus, being a follower of Jesus. That's what some of the other parts of Psalm 116 is talking about. Fulfilling his vows, a thank offering in verse 17, it's part of worship. It's thanking God for what he's done. In verse 4, he calls out to God to save him. Have you done that yet? Have you called out to God to save you? To put your trust in Jesus? As we start the year, that would be a great way to start the year. If you've never put your trust in Jesus before, put your trust in him and be saved. Maybe you just come for the first time. Maybe you came for Christmas. Maybe actually all of last year, you've been wrestling with who this Jesus is. Can I encourage you to do what this psalmist does? To cry out to God and to say, save me. And put your trust in Jesus. I will trust. Number two, I will serve. Did you see in verse 16? He says, truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. The second way to respond to God is to serve. If God is Lord, he needs to be Lord. It means that God is our boss. It's no good to think, you know, it's nice to have Jesus. It's nice to have him there. You know, he saves me. If that makes no difference in your life. Maybe this morning we need to realize that God is King. And that alone means that we can serve him, that we should serve him. But even more than that, he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Of course, we will serve him. What is that going to look like this year? Maybe for the past 12 months, you've been sitting back, letting everyone else run around. Maybe you don't know where to get started. How do I serve? What would that look like for me? Send me an email. Grab me afterwards, after church. I hope that we are people who will say, I will trust, I will serve. Now, it's possible to go through this psalm, to get caught up in the language there, which in some ways can feel quite foreign to us. You know, this idea about the cup of salvation, sacrificing a thank offering, fulfilling vows in the house of the Lord. It's possible to get caught up in all of that and actually miss out on what's really going on, to see the heart response of the psalmist here. Take a look at verse 1. He says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. I love the Lord. That's the psalmist's response, isn't it? I will trust, I will serve, I will love. The experience that the psalmist has renews his love, his passion for God. And that's a good reminder for us. You know, it's so easy in our Christian lives just to become mechanical, to be automatic in the things that we do. You know, we go to church on Sunday because it's Sunday. You know, we go to growth group. We teach kids' church. We're on the roster. We usher. It's possible to lose sight of the inner heart of the Christian faith, which is to love God and to love his people. The psalmist knew how to give thanks to God. I will trust, I will serve, I will love. I said at the start that this psalm is uniquely Australian, and in some ways it is. The first Christian sermon that was preached in Australia ever was this psalm. The Reverend Richard Johnson, he was the first chaplain to Australia. He came over with the First Fleet. The first Christian service back in 1788, he preached on Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Just imagine being back then, hearing this sermon, to feel what those words mean. you have just spent 250 days out at sea. You spent 8 months on a ship, battling the wind and the waves, the storms that hit them during that time, seeing people die from disease and sickness, and then to finally make it into Sydney Cove. How can I repay the Lord? It is a great verse for the first sermon preached in Australia, because they've come through the cords of death and they've been saved. This morning, how about us? Maybe this year is going to be a great year. Lots of things to give thanks to God for. Maybe this year will have more than its fair share of pain and anguish and hardship. Maybe you're feeling that even now. Whatever this year is going to look like, you can give thanks to God even then. The Reverend Richard Johnson brought with him the same gospel that we have. He knew Jesus just as we do. And he knew that no anguish or pain or grief, no anxiety that keeps you up at night, no broken relationships, not even the cords of death can separate us from the amazing love that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. At the start of 2025 this year, will you trust God? Will you serve him? Will you love him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible love to us. We thank you that you are a God who hears us. You are a God who saves. We thank you for the way that this psalm points even to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you save us in him. You bring us into the land of living, of eternal life, of life with you. Father, we pray that we might wrestle this year with working out how can we say thank you to you in our lives. Help us, Lord, to grow in trusting you, serving you, and loving you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.